You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Would you be surprised if I tell you that more than 50,000 residents across Wisconsin are scammed every year? And this number only includes those who report being a victim. Sadly, our seniors are targeted more than any other age group. The ripoffs range from phishing for your personal information to fraudsters on the phone trying to fake their way into your finances. Our New Wisco Weekend team is here to help. And in this edition, we investigate the ways you can protect yourself and your loved ones from being scammed. Our cover story features a man who wrote the book for seniors, or really any of us. Alex East will share specific things for you to know about online scams. He joins us in about 20 minutes. We'll also have reports on different types of ripoffs, including a weather-related scam. Amanda Nimmer has commentary on one of the most prolific scammers in the country, and it's not who you probably think it is. A little later, Terry Barr sits down with a Wisconsin-based artist who reveals how he's fighting what he calls one of the biggest scams in the music industry. And as always, we'll flip the pages to our features, including an introduction to the man who can show you around Lambeau Field, and Pete Schwabe has your classic cinema pick of the week. We open up this issue of New Wisco Weekend with Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz, who has a look at a common scam that pops up this time of year.
Millions of Americans play the lottery and enter sweepstakes, hoping to win money. Whether it is a small amount or a large fortune, consumers hope to become a winner. Some individuals who like to take their chance at becoming a winner could be targeted by scammers through a letter. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
This is that time of year when we see all sorts of sweepstakes, some of them promoted on the television, some legit, but then those impersonators come out. But we have received complaints for consumers already this year that have received a letter. The scammers here sent a formal, legitimate-looking letter to the consumer, which included a fake, non-cashable sample check for over $16,000, and that was to try and gain that consumer's trust. The letter explained that the consumer had been automatically entered in the lottery by making a credit card purchase at a participating grocery store or gas station, and then that resulted in them winning over $1 million to be distributed in monthly increments after fees had been paid.
The letter you may receive might seem legitimate, but it actually is meant to lure you into the scam.
The letter goes on to ask the consumer to call a phone number, but it warns them that they have had failed attempts to reach them by phone, and this letter was that final notice before their account was canceled and their winnings were lost. So it adds that urgency to the situation. In order to access the winnings, they needed to pay over $10,000 in those fake taxes and fees. And of course, the consumers asked to keep their fake winnings a secret for security and media release purposes because they want to do a big announcement, so they don't want them letting the cat out of the bag and sharing their good fortune with anyone at this point in time. But we need people to rip this letter up and not respond to it.
Michelle Reinen says that there are things written in the letter that should warn consumers it is indeed a scam.
We can see some red flags in this. You know, a prize is a prize. You don't need to pay money to receive it. You might have taxes and fees come out of your winnings, but you don't need to pay out of your pocket in order to receive that prize. And be suspicious of any claim that you've won a lottery or some sweepstakes that you never signed up for. You know, you need to be signing up for these in order to win them. So no matter how real a lottery letter looks, always do your research, verify those claims independently before believing them, and don't let that scammer use those high-pressure tactics like deadlines and final notices steal your own money out of your pocketbook.
If you suspect a fake lottery winning letter or have been scammed, you can contact ADCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wy.gov. From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
With the Timber Rattlers, the Minnesota Wild, and even the Green Bay Packers. Conrad Krieger introduces us to Spencer Larson, who oversees the Hall of Fame and stadium tours at Lambeau Field.
I think I speak for everyone when I say a job with the Green Bay Packers is a dream come true. And for this individual, he has had to pay his dues to get to where he is at. Spencer Larson is the stadium services manager for the Green and Gold. And he talks about his story working in sports around the U.S. and what it's like working for the most historic football franchise in the NFL.
13 years old, I started with the Timber Rattlers as a bat boy, like grew up right down the street in Appleton and, lived a couple other places. And to work for the Packers every day is really incredible. It's a dream come true. At the time, I was living in Minnesota, working for the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. And there's a site where all the jobs in sports are posted, Teamwork Online, it's called. And it's all the postings. So there's internships, full-time positions. And I was just kind of scrolling through. It was actually Twitter at the time and saw the job posting. And I loved my job over in Minnesota. Incredible position. And I would have probably only left for a job with the Packers. And I applied and had a phone interview, had a couple Zoom interviews because it was during COVID at that time, and kind of wild. Like my first day coming to Lambeau Field, I had never met any of those people in person. It was all on Zoom or over the phone, so kind of a unique time. No 2 days are ever the same, which is a great part of the position, but I oversee the Hall of Fame and stadium tours at Lambeau Field, so game weekends are really busy for us. We'll have over 5,000 people coming through, but for both departments, right now we have 70 or so tour guides. We have 25 to 30 people working at the Hall of Fame desk. So just all the day-to-day operations, budgeting, planning ahead for exhibits. There's not too many places I tell people where you're walking into your office, like through the parking lot, and there's people taking pictures right outside. You know you're at a special place and that's happening.
Either taking a tour of historic Lambeau Field or walking around the Hall of Fame Museum, Spencer shares that it's always busy no matter what time of year. And it's not always just people from Wisconsin. It's out of the Midwest or even out of the country.
Training camp time, it's not unusual for a tour of 30, 35 people for every single person to be outside the state, sometimes outside the Midwest. Yeah, all to Green Bay, Wisconsin. You know, any day of the year, like today, we'll probably have someone from outside the country that comes through to visit. For the Hall of Fame museum space, we really try to focus on appealing to all ages. Like we have interactives. Right. We added a couple of years ago, like a Gilbert Brown interactive that's also a skeleton that mimics your movements. So even if you're a five-year-old, you know, you raise up your hand and the screen is mimicking those movements. And we added a interactive display a couple years ago now too, where you can immerse yourself in history and you're throwing a football, you're making a motion like you're throwing a pass. And it's either one of our huge quarterbacks in history, you know, Bart Starr, Aaron Rodgers, or Brett Favre that you're working with there.
And if you want to book a tour of Lambeau Field, definitely do it in advance.
Typically a couple months ahead we'll book. It's common for people to do something else within the building and then add on, right, like Hall of Fame stadium tours. But for events in the Hall of Fame, month or two ahead is fine to reserve the space.
That was Spencer Larson, the stadium services manager for the Green Bay Packers, who joined Mino and the Mayor weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. For New Wisco Weekend Sports, I'm Conrad Krieger.
They are diabolical scammers, and Amanda Nimmer is here to tell us all about them.
Most people don't realize that the biggest scammers in their life is someone they know, someone they're close to, someone they're related to. Ladies and gents, it's your freaking kids. A lot of people think kids are dumber than they are, but let me tell you that these little con artists, they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly which relative to play to get exactly what they want. And yes, there are kids who clearly do the obvious, which is play mom versus dad or dad versus dad, mom versus mom, parent versus parent, okay? But I'm talking about the extended relatives. For instance, grandma and grandpa, easiest mark. They know exactly how to work them, exactly what to say, and exactly what facial expression to either get those extra treats, presents, toys, what have you. Staying up late, boom, grandma and grandpa, they're going to fall for anything. Their second biggest mark are childless uncles and aunts. Emphasis on childless. Because once you have created your own little minions with a nat 20 for charisma, you know exactly what they're doing and what they're pulling, which is why the childless aunts and uncles are the perfect mark. You want to play video games even though you've been grounded from them? Boom, ask your uncles. Kid wants to stay up late and eat food they're not allowed to? All they got to do is quiver that bottom lip and look at that aunt in the eyes with a little gloss faded over, and that woman is crumbling. Yes, you can have anything you want, Timmy. Anything. Uncles especially feel that way because you're not my problem in a few hours. These tiny, hidden assassins do not start off knowing how to do this. It is a trait that they've learned, a skill that they've picked up, or rather adapted, purely based off interactions with other people. Because when they were younger, they were squishier, and albeit cuter, they realized, I can get exactly what I want from these people if I do these certain things. They take that knowledge, they mold it, they craft it, they become a master at it. Because guess what? They found out very quickly, these aren't the people who say no. Okay, I'm being a little overdramatic here, but you see my point. And guess what? Family aren't the only victims. Wait staff. The elderly at the grocery store, because for some reason they really like approaching other people's kids. Can't quite figure that one out. But all they gotta do, like I'm telling you, my son, at the ripe age of 2, figured out very quickly he knew how to work the waitresses to get extra snacks from them. Because all he had to do was flash a smile, say something nice. Yes, my kid was talking very well at 2. He's great vocabulary. Don't know where he got it from. And do a little giggle. And these waitresses, wait staff, they would just fall for it. He's had people buy him things at the grocery store. I don't know how they do it. But there's this confidence that at some point most of us lose when it comes to wanting to get a treat, a snack, an apple. I have no idea. I've had people, strangers in grocery stores, buy my son a Kinder Egg because he somehow got them too. It happened so fast, I didn't even notice it was happening. Tiny, diabolical assassins with charisma. That's what children are. And you know what? I can't fault them for it. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. And there you go.
Disturb me with all your cares and your worries. Speak to me.
When we come back to New Wisco Weekend, we'll have Pete Schwabba's movie pick, and Brittany Merlot and Joanne Krulatz will have stories on scams that could affect you. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media Radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up in about 10 minutes, our cover story, what seniors need to know to stay safe from scams and why the rest of us should be paying attention too. First, fraud aimed at Wisconsin senior citizens tops the list of scams in our state, according to officials with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. A few of the other complaints, their home improvement issues, car repair questions, and landlord disputes. For more information or to learn how to file a complaint, go to the Consumer Protection website, consumerprotection.wi.gov. Right now, let's lighten things up with some entertainment.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's Classic Movie Pick of the Week.
This week's classic honors the late, great John Hughes during his birthday week and takes us back to 1988 for a story about a young couple expecting their first child. In the film, she's having a baby. The couple, Jake and Christy Briggs, played by Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth McGovern, play newlyweds dealing with the pressures of being young and married. Jake is looking for a job as a copywriter while dealing with his disapproving father-in-law and parents who are desperate for grandchildren. Their life is a whirlwind, and sometimes Sometimes it takes the idea of parents going through a life-threatening labor to appreciate all the beauty in life. She's Having a Baby has plenty of marital conflict, at times very humorous. Like when Jake's Playboy best friend, played by Alec Baldwin, shows up with his party girlfriend, sparking an argument between the newlyweds.
Move.
What?
Move!
So what do you want me to do, huh?
Tell me!
You want me to throw them out in the snow?
Yes.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, forget it!
You're not sleeping in this bed.
Oh, really?
Anywhere but in this room or in this bed.
Isn't it going to be a little bit embarrassing to have Davis know that we're fighting?
Not to me.
Okay, fine, forget it! But if he asks, I'm telling him everything.
Don't forget to tell him how I feel about his girlfriend!
She's got some lungs when she wants them, huh?
While writing the script, Hughes drew on his own experience as a young copywriter in Chicago, trying to find a job to support his family. The story is wrought with perfect drama, real marital moments, and like most John Hughes films, lots of laughs. In addition to Kevin Bacon, Elizabeth McGovern, and Baldwin, who are perfectly cast, Hughes built a talented ensemble which included John Ashton, Paul Gleason, and the hilarious Edie McClurg, who appears in many of Hughes' films. You can also lose yourself during the film while trying to count several uncredited cameos. Hughes collaborated with Stuart Copeland from The Police to create a great score. The film also has many songs on its memorable soundtrack. As prolific as Hughes was as a writer, John only directed 8 films in his 35-year career, but they were his best and included Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 16 Candles, and The Breakfast Club. Fun fact, She's Having a Baby was shot at the same time Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was being shot, which resulted in a cameo by Kevin Bacon in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, where he races Steve Martin and beats him to a cab. As much as Hughes gets credit for being the voice of teenagers in his films, She's Having a Baby is just one example that proves he is a brilliant writer through and through. She's Having a Baby is this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
Whenever severe weather strikes, you can bet scammers are following the news to target people affected. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us how to be aware and protect against weather-related scams.
In the chaotic aftermath of severe weather events like tornadoes, hurricanes, hailstorms, and floods, the urgency for help and repair creates fertile grounds for scams. I mean, think about it. Weather-related disasters mean big bucks for them. They'll appear right after an emergency and offer to get your power back on, make essential repairs, or help with whatever you need. But if you pay them, they'll take your money and disappear before the work is ever done. Now, you can spot a utility imposter pretty easily. They're the ones that go doorstep to doorstep telling you that you need a repair. What you should do is ask for their ID to see who you're dealing with, and only hire contractors who are licensed and insured, and always get a written contract. Never, ever pay the full amount up front or in cash. And use a credit card. It gives you some protection. Another common scam involves individuals impersonating FEMA. Yeah, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. They'll pretend to be a representative offering to help you with your FEMA application, but will then charge you an upfront fee. And this is not a part of any legitimate FEMA process. It's important to prepare for a disaster now so you don't get scammed by the actual legit insurance companies either. One mistake people make is not taking pictures of their property before it's damaged or gone. So go around the house today and capture picture proof of all of your valuables. Save it in a special folder on your phone, and then the insurance company can't deny it and will replace it. You'll also want to see if your company offers flood insurance. Most policies don't cover it, including sewer backups. And all it takes is 1 inch of water to cause around $25,000 in damage. And this can be devastating if you don't have the right insurance. Wisconsinites are eligible to purchase federal flood insurance, and it's not just designated for those special flood hazard zones. Visit floodsmart.gov to learn more. And keep in mind, there's usually a 30-day waiting period before NFIP policies go into effect. So by signing up now, it ensures you'll have coverage by the time spring showers start to hit the state. And it's also a good idea to get a lockable, fireproof file box to keep important papers and documents inside of. From your social security card to ownership records for your home, cars, RVs, or boats. People battle post-disaster identity theft often from personal data being accessible. And it's sad but true. Looters go onto your property after it's torn apart by Mother Nature. The unlivable homes become vacant at night after a natural disaster strikes. And while the owners stay in a hotel, thieves run in and steal things that are left behind. And you should also be aware of scammers posing as representatives of charities seeking donations for disaster relief. only donate to trusted, well-known charities. So as you can see, it's more than just being prepared for the severe weather headed your way, but also what's to follow if it does strike you. Scammers like to get you when you're most vulnerable. So stay strong, be prepared, and remember these tips. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Scammers will take advantage of the cold weather and the need to keep warm. Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz has that story.
During the winter, utility bill costs are usually on the rise due to the need of heat to keep warm during cold temperatures. Scammers are aware of this and threaten to disconnect consumers' utilities for various reasons so they can make money. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
This seems to be our annual reminder because we certainly see spikes in the phone calls and messages that come during this time of year. And so we want to remind everybody how this scam works. The scammers contact consumers claiming to represent a local utility company, and they often manipulate the caller ID by spoofing that phone number, making it look local. They mention work orders during the telephone conversation, billing statements, truck numbers, and other very specific details that make it seem legitimate that a truck is on its way to do a disconnection.
Utility disconnection tactics are used to strike fear into the consumer that is contacted by the scammer.
They just want consumers to act out of this fear before they get a chance to stop and think. So they use very high-pressure tactics and often ask for immediate...
Never let a scammer trick you into thinking your utilities will be disconnected. There is currently a moratorium in effect to help prevent disconnection. Also, if you are a victim of a utility disconnect scam, you can contact ADCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov.
That's Civic Media correspondent Joanne Krulatz.
Stay tuned for more New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS.
This is New Wisco Weekend for WISS, WGBW, and Civic Media. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's now time for our cover story. Alex East wrote a book, Cybersecurity for Seniors Made Easy. Alex, number one, thank you for writing the book. Number two, thank you for joining me today. The thing about cybersecurity and senior citizens is it seems to be that they are the ones that are targeted the most and the heaviest. Why do you think that is?
So there are a couple of reasons there. So the first and foremost is they're an easy target. Okay. So that one is the lack of familiarity with technology and things like that. The other one is there's a perceived wealth there, right? There's you know, something to go after. People that have worked all their lives, built up a 401k, you know, maybe have their mortgage paid off, you know, have significant savings. So there's that to go after. And the other thing is the fact that they are very trusting by nature. You know, I just turned 60 recently, and I was brought up to respect my elders and respect authority, right? So if you are sent something in the email, or you receive a phone call from, you know, the sheriff's department, or, you know, the administrator of your medical, you know, provider, then you're kind of taught to take their word as law. So people can masquerade as these individuals, and the people receiving those calls and texts and emails will kind of be very trusting and hand over information that is required to, you know, get access to their finances and things like that.
What do you see is the most prevalent scam that attacks seniors? I mean, in our area, we're seeing a whole bunch of different ones popped up.
Yeah, so there are a lot that specifically target seniors. There's things like a grandparent scam. There are romance scams. Tech support is another one. But I would say the main one is phishing, right? And it's phishing with a PH, where someone will receive either an email or a text message from maybe someone purporting to be your bank or a package delivery company. And there will be a link in there for you to click on. And there's always urgent text in there. You know, you must click on this urgently or you will lose X, right? Or, you know, we'll disable your account. So they create that sense of urgency. You click on the link and, you know, they can look very real, these emails. You know, that one of the stories in my book were, and they're all true stories, but one of them was someone very close to me who was sent an email from what looked very much like American Express. It had all the logos and everything like that. And they ended up clicking on the link. It took them to a website that looked like American Express for them to log in. But unfortunately, once they logged in, all that was happening was their login credentials were being captured. And then those were used to access their account and siphon their funds from it.
And these emails, the web addresses that they send look real. I mean, they might be slightly different. Instead of AmericanExpress.com, it might be AmericanExpress with an extra S.com or something like that. And they look so real. And it's so difficult sometimes to tell the difference.
It really is. In fact, again, in my book, I give an example where they don't necessarily misspell words, but they use a different font for them. So rather than using, you know, our standard Latin font, they'll use like the Cyrillic alphabet. And there are letters that in that alphabet that look like Latin letters, like the letter A, for instance, in the Cyrillic alphabet looks very much like a cursive A in Latin. And they'll use tactics like that where, you know, if you're not on mega alert on these things, they can look very, very genuine.
So what can people do to protect themselves against getting scammed? I'm guessing part of it is getting your book to take a look at, you know, your tips and stuff. But what are some of the tips so people can be more secure?
Yeah, the key word really is, you know, I always say, you know, when I was growing up, it was stop, drop and roll, right, was what was drummed into our heads. Now it's don't click on links and, you know, verify, trust but verify. Every single time. If there's a link in an email, let's say, for instance, you do receive something for your bank saying, you know, we've noticed unauthorized access, click on this link to log into your account. Do not click on that link. Go to your bank's website and, you know, log in that way, the regular way, or contact your bank, right? There's on the back of your credit card, on your statement, there's a phone number to contact customer support. Just say, hey, I received this email. Is it genuinely from you, right? So always verify these things. Don't just take the you know, the information that's sent to you in an email or a text as gospel. Make sure that you verify these things before you take any action. Trust your gut as well, right? When we've been on this planet for as long as I have and you know, my seniors and stuff like that, you know, you have an innate wisdom and an innate knowing. If something doesn't feel right, it's probably not right.
You know, we talk about the phishing schemes that come in via email, but you hit on something a little bit earlier that I want to go back to. They're not just email. So if you say, well, I don't use my email that much anyway, or I have my bank, I connect it through the app or whatnot, you get texts a lot that are phishing texts as well. And I think that's something that maybe seniors don't think about, that their phone is actually an extension of their computer.
Absolutely. So, and that's one of the more increasing methods of attack, right? As most of us, you know, carry this small computer around with us, you know, the methods of contacting you, you know, like you said, an email, you probably have to log in, you know, you'll do it by your computer or your laptop, whereas a text message is much more immediate. Right. And that's where, you know, they'll use a technique called smishing, which is the same as phishing, but with SMS, short message service, right, which is another word for text. So they'll do exactly the same methodology, but via text, and even what's now called vishing, which is voice, where they will phone you and it can be even a recorded message saying, hey, and then insert name here, and you'll say yes, and they'll be recording your responses, and then they'll use the recordings of your voice to then go and access your accounts, you know, calling your bank and things like that. So they can even use voice recordings to artificially intelligence generate. They can type in text, say, take this sample of this voice and read this text as this voice. So they can even kind of simulate you saying pretty much anything that they want you to say. So, you know, it's not just email, it's text messages and phone calls. So, you know, they'll use every weapon in their arsenal to get to you.
And that is what's so scary is now with AI, anything can be done. So when people call me, I try not to say the word yes. I really do. I try not to say the word yes ever. You know, is this Lisa? I could be, you know, kind of thing. I never say yes because I'm always afraid somebody's going to take that yes and use it later in that type of situation. How can you protect yourself on the phone?
Yeah, so I go around speaking at a lot of senior homes and things like that. And what I always recommend here is the great thing you have on your phone is you have a contact list, right? And when someone contacts you that isn't on your contact list, then I always say, just let them go to voicemail, right? Never answer. Just let them go to voicemail. Then if it's important, they'll leave you a message, which you can then pick up later, right? If they're a scammer, they won't leave a voicemail. The other great thing that you can do these days is you can actually, on certain phones, have settings where you won't even receive a call from someone that is not in your contact list. And I always recommend setting that to be on. You know, when you get to a certain age, there are three or four, you know, maybe a dozen at most people that contact you regularly. Put those in your trusted circle and only receive calls from them. If someone else needs to get hold of you, you know, they can contact one of those people and put them in, you know, in contact with you that way or relay a message. But that's what I always say. If it's from someone you don't know, don't pick up that phone.
Absolutely. Is there anything you'd like to add that we haven't touched on?
I mean, I would definitely say, you know, that this demographic is increasingly targeted. So 2 years ago, when I started doing the research for this, AARP had come out with a report saying that $3.4 billion had been stolen from seniors. That's the equivalent of $500 for each and every senior in the USA. Last year, it was $21 billion. So it went up almost six times. So it's an increasing thing. But it's very easy to stop these happening, right? There are some simple steps to take. As I say, trust but verify. Always trust your gut. There are some certain steps that you can take to fortify, like your home network, you know, setting good passwords. Two-factor authentication is huge. It's like adding an extra padlock to your front door. If they get the key to the lock to get in, they still need to get past that. I would recommend everybody do that. And the other thing is oversharing on social media. You know, a lot of us go out and we'll go, you know, I just did this. I just ate this meal. Oh, congratulations to my grandchild doing that. People harvest this information and they use it to both impersonate you online. There's a big thing right now on Facebook with people's accounts being cloned. And then they'll also use that to access your accounts. You know, people have things like, you know, my dog's name is my password. If they can get that information from your social media, they'll use that. They'll put on polls on social media. You know, what was your favorite TV show growing up? And people just share that info without thinking what it could be used for. So just be super cautious with what you share online. Everything you do on the internet, there's a breadcrumb trail to that, and it stays there forever. It never goes away. So just be very mindful of that. And that's the biggest piece of information I could, you know, piece of advice I could give people would be those three things. Just be very cautious of what you share. Don't click on anything in an email or a text message, and don't pick up the phone to numbers you don't recognize.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me. I appreciate you writing this book and being such an advocate. And I thank you very much, Alex. You've been great.
It's my absolute pleasure.
Find Alex's book on Amazon or go to cybersecuritycoachonline.com.
Thanks for spending your weekend with us, New Wisco Weekend, on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And the Civic Media app.
There's yet another scam for you to watch out for, and that relates to tax season. Scammers are using tax season to try to take your money. IRS spokesman Christopher Miller says one common trick is using scary messages to demand money. These can come over your phone, in text messages, on social media, or even in letters crafted to look like they're from government agencies. Miller says the IRS or other government agencies will never demand immediate payment over the phone. If you get one of these calls or messages, simply hang up or delete it. If you're concerned about tax payments, visit the IRS website yourself at irs.gov.
Look what just walked through that door. Well, hello, TROUBLE.
Still ahead on New Wisco Weekend, a fight for what's right as one Wisconsin artist goes up against what he calls the biggest scammers in the music industry. And our cover story that features a man who literally wrote the book on cybersecurity for seniors.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. You can call this one a real David versus Goliath type story. The little guy taking on big business. Wisconsin-based musician Brett Newsky is standing up for something he believes in. And Terry Barr joins us to share why he hopes it leads others to do the same. Terry, why did he decide to take on what he calls a scam in the music industry?
Lisa, Brett Newsky travels the world. He's sold thousands of albums, and he has a brand new one coming out in May. Now, when I sat down to talk with him, he decided he will no longer offer his music on any streaming services. Here's why.
Spotify, it's an amazing tool. We'll just use that as an example. Obviously, there's tons of streaming services, but that's kind of the overlord. I mean, amazing tool. It's the best thing ever invented, for a lot of listeners would agree. It can be neat for bands if you can kind of crack that top, you know, 0.5% and like kind of be in the mix, be at the top of the algorithm. Then it can gain you some fandom pretty quickly. But for the great, great majority of artists, it kills you. And this is coming from someone who's tried to have faith in the model for a long time. We've put a lot of money into Spotify as far as advertising, hiring promoters, because that's what people tell you. That's kind of the narrative. It's like, you gotta crack the algorithm, you gotta crack Spotify. And you know, you start to do the math and it's like, well, damn, we just released this record, 100,000, 200,000 people listen to it. That's a lot of people. That's a couple giant stadiums. So we're getting a check for $271? Like, we can't even put on a show for that. So it's very abusive. It has been for a long time. I don't have an answer yet, but one little pushback that's a brand new experiment that's 4 days in for our band has worked really nice. Just selling it directly to people, physical, vinyl, CD, digital. Once you put a record on streaming, it's virtually useless, in my opinion.
Is that amount you mentioned, 270 or something, is that the most you've probably ever made on any streaming services?
You get royalty checks all the time. And we'll get streaming checks for $40. We'll get streaming checks for 2 cents. We'll get streaming checks for $91. It's all over the place. It's just, it doesn't work for us, and it works for almost nobody.
How do you feel knowing that people still are willing to say, okay, forget it, we like your music, we're going to buy these physical things that we can have in our hand, we're going to buy your merch, we're going to come to your show? That's still what it's all about, isn't it?
I've been able to make a living for the past 10 or 12 years. So there is that circle, that inner circle that will pay for things. And that's the only reason I'm still in the game. I think it's just a matter of really educating the public. We're in this new world where one person has a good idea for an app and it obliterates an industry, and all of a sudden they have $1 billion and everyone else has to give their stuff away for free in exchange for exposure or whatever it is. So I think people are generally really sweet, kind, caring. If they believe in something, I think they want to support it. They just don't know how. I think we'll start to see some movements like this one, but hopefully from like Justin Vernon or somebody with a little more reach. We got to educate the public to buy art if you believe in it, you know?
I read that Brian Ritchie with the Violent Femmes says something on the order of, I like the way he is forcing the world to contend with him. That's strong. What kind of responses have you been getting from people?
A lot from music fans, but also artists, you know, are the ones that really jump out at me. They're kind of inspired to do the same thing. Now it's so new, like nobody really releases records and doesn't put them on streaming. I think that this will be a thing that happens a lot soon. This is a nice litmus test to have musicians start to stick up for themselves, because musicians are, for lack of a better word, I don't know, just sensitive and don't stick up for themselves. You know, we get pushed around. We've heard the narrative for so long that music is free or this exposure is going to be great. It's why the industry has feasted on the hopes and dreams of people for so long, because we're big dreamers.
Do you still love it? Do you still have the dream?
I love it. Yeah, I'm still obsessed with it. I still wake up pretty pumped to get up in the morning most days. Yeah, it's my burnout is short-lived.
This is a big stand, Lisa, and one of the first by a small independent artist. If you want to support him, go to his website, Brett Newsky. It's spelled B-R-E-T-T-N-E-W-S-K-I, brettnewsky.com. And here's just a taste of a song from his new album being released in May. It's Bitter End of the Beginning. And again, this is by Brett Newsky.
Magazine, tambourine, nicotine, all in the glove box. Gasoline, Listerine, guillotine, I'm in between love. I'm just getting started on the bitter end of the beginning, the beginning. I'm just getting started on the bitter end. Started on the middle.
for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, a look at scams and how to protect yourself against them. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Joanne Krulatz, Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, and Pete Schwaba. Our commentator is Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please email me anytime at lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.